Hello everyone, welcome to LTV Talks. Today we have Roma with us. Roma has tons of experience in the CRM field and I'm super excited to have her on today as a guest. She has worked with brands like Helpling, Baha, and is now heading CRM at Lovu, which is a dating app. And she's been talking a lot about like personalization, onboarding, and is an expert when it comes to like how to organize teams at large scale and how to organize CRM also at companies. So it'll be very, very cool to have the conversation today. Roma, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. Is there anything that I missed from your introduction, Roma?
I don't think so, no. I think it's short, straight to the point, so yeah.
Nice. I'm sure there's a lot more that you did in these experiences, and maybe like, you know, we can start from there, right? Like for those people who don't know you personally or who haven't followed you, how do you describe your CRM journey? And you know, how did you get into the field? How do you find yourself to be the head of CRM now? What has that been like?
Yeah, I think it has been a quite unexpected and funny journey, I must say. I moved to Berlin 10 years ago, and it was the moment. So, short personal story. So, my plan was to come to Berlin, learn some German for 1 month during the summer, and go back. But yeah, life is life, so you can't plan much. And yeah, this is where I am, 10 years in Berlin. For the entire time I was working and I was connected with the CRM area, where I started. So I started as an intern for eDarling. It's an online dating platform, and there I started as an intern in the field of CRM, CEO, SEM, and so on. And it was the moment for me to discover something new, because I just knew that after moving to Germany, I need to find my new way, because yeah, I'm a journalist. That was my big dream. But unfortunately, being a TV journalist in Berlin, there was no way. So I just thought, okay, it's time for me to challenge something new. I have always been quite flexible, so it was a moment where I thought, okay, I have a chance to learn so many new things. Why not to focus on CRM? And the reason why I choose this from all of the other things that I've learned in the company was the perfect mixture between being creative and also being someone who loves numbers. So I started there. And of course, it was quite different than it is right now, but still, like, the main intention of CRM is still there. So you connect with people, you either sell the products, or you make sure that users or customers are loving your product, and then you deliver just exactly what they want.
So, perfect. So you mentioned how you started in CRM as an intern, actually. And also in the dating field, right? And I was wondering almost like, has that been the passion, or was it more of a chance and luck that you started in the field and now you find yourself still working in the dating field?
Yeah, I think it was just coincidence. And it's also very interesting for me to see how the entire dating industry has changed over a decade, because this, what we were doing 10 years ago, is completely different than this, what we do at Lovu. First of all, the main user base back then was focused on the desktop version. So the website was the main point to create a connection between our users and make them help to find their love. Right now, Lovu is fully focused on the dating app. Of course, we also have a website, but yeah, I think we all know that everyone right now, it's so much attached to the smartphone. And every time you get a notification or you get a message, you don't want to log in or like search for your laptop, go and check the message. It's just so easy to just with a few clicks open the app and see who is trying to contact you. This also has a big impact on the response rate. Because if you are very fast, you can also continue the conversation, or you can show the other person that you are having some interest with the website. Back then, our main channel for CRM was newsletter. The reason why, also, when you look at this, so many years ago, people wanted way more contact via newsletter email, because not too many companies were doing this. Right now, yeah, I also have a mailbox where I just receive interesting newsletters, and then I can compare or like find an inspiration. And I remove all of the emails in the evening. When I open my mail account in the morning, then I have like thousands of new newsletters. So it's so hard to make users to be focus on your brand and make something special if you have so many other people that are trying to get their attention, put so many emojis, try to personalize as much as you can. It's very, very hard. And Lovoo, I think it's following the exact trend right now, that you need to be at the right time, at the right moment, at the right place to contact users. This is why, especially for CRM, every time we do any campaign or like any connection with our users, we first of all check the data and try to personalize the communication as much as we can.
Nice. And it's actually very interesting to hear that perspective, right? Because when I joined CRM as a field, there was still already some movement in this direction where folks were starting to use their apps. And, you know, I have been very heavily focused on the app CRM, only later to realize that brands were actually defining CRM just as like these newsletters, whereas now it is so much more, I would say, and maybe also somewhat changed, right, in that sense. How was that like before, you know, when you were sending out newsletters? How has that part evolved, for example, now to Lovoo? You mentioned increase in competition and also, of course, increase in user behavior, right? So users are all on their app, and that's why we are now, as marketers, also on the app, right? Spending way more time on the app trying to get them. But have anything stayed constant in this journey of yours, that you see that although, you know, the channels might have changed, what is the constant that you're seeing in terms of, like, you know, when you started to now? Are there any things that come out to you?
Yeah, maybe I will start with something that we try to educate others, and we try to be very transparent. It's the lack of understanding what really CRM stands for. Very often teams are called newsletter team instead of being called a customer relationship team, or like connectors with users. This lack of understanding basically caused this, that often the company cannot really use the entire potential of the team or like the tool, because most of the time CRM tools are quite expensive. And trust me, they are not made to send newsletters only. Like, as a team, not only at Lovoo, but I was working for many different companies. So I started, as I mentioned, with eDarling. Then I went through young startups with every day was completely different. And like, we were coming to the office and we didn't know how we're going to end up and when we're going to end up today. I changed to older German company where everything was very slow, old fashioned. And I was trying to bring new trends to the company. I went through e-commerce companies. And now I'm at Lovoo. And in every company, I really see the same. That, for example, numbers are going down no matter where you are. Numbers are going down. There always comes to you a person who says like, hey, send a newsletter or send a push because we need more revenue, or we need to sell more products, or we need to engage with users. And when I was in one of this startup, I just asked a question. I was completely new, and it was also a new thing for me. So I asked, like, why do you want me to send a newsletter? And the person there told me, yeah, it's like normal. Everyone who is in this team is doing this when we need to boost the numbers. But when we continue talking, he also understood that this number boost easily goes down. So when users are losing their interest or the offer expires, what can you do? You can send another newsletter or you create another offer, but this is not how you want to burn money, right? So CRM, it's about constant connection with users, about creating engagement, making users loyal, making them to like your product. And I think this is something that many of the CRM people have to fight with every day, and no matter where you are. But this is also quite a nice challenge. Also at Lovoo, so before I started, of course, there was a team. And after I joined, I had the same story. So yeah, that numbers are going down. We need a CRM action. And now, after almost 2 years in the company, CRM is becoming part of the entire talk about strategy or part of the planning. Back then, it was just, as I said, on a side team to connect with users. Mm. So yeah, step by step, I think all of the CRM people have to educate and make sure that the others are understanding the power and the potential of this, what we are doing.
Very nice. I have so many leading questions to this, actually, and I think it'd be great to get your insights on it as well. Because I completely agreed, and I have seen this in my CRM lifetime as well, that you have so many folks coming and saying, let's send out a newsletter or let's send out this blast promotional campaign to everyone because we still haven't hit our numbers, right? And there's this huge component of drive revenue, and we have this million user base who we mm-hmm. can send to and quickly get some money. Which I think is not completely wrong. Like, it does help you there. But I think there's not an understanding that CRM is much more than that. And it has evolved significantly in terms of what you could do instead of this approach of, you know, let's do this when our numbers are not looking great. I was wondering, within this education, right? First question is, when you started out, and you're working through these different verticals and industries, did you see the same issue in these companies? And were people already talking about this as being an issue at that point? Or is this fairly recent that you see that now there is a more understanding and awareness about what CRM can do? Or was there always this understanding that CRM can do much more than this?
I think just now I have more power to decide, because, you know, as a junior or as an intern, you can say what you think, but probably people will not really trust you or will not really take your opinion seriously. But of course, right now, with all the experience and with all of the knowledge that I have right now, I can say that it's a very common thing, no matter where you are. I remember, funny story, once I was invited to have an interview in a huge e-commerce company in Berlin. It's very successful, international, like selling crazy amount of products every day. And then the first interview was with the founder of the company. So I thought, like, oh, that's nice. So I just go to the company and directly I have a chance to talk to the founder. So let's see what I can expect. What really surprised me was that he was asking me why I think that his company needs CRM, because there was a very well prepared strategy for every channel, but CRM was just not existing. For a huge company where you sell products, there was no CRM. So the main focus of the company was user acquisition. And he told me, like, okay, so I'm successful in this company. Why do you want me to spend money on you? Why do you want me to spend money on your tools? I don't see any reason, convince me. And then when we started talking about it, he really realized that, sure, you can acquire new users and then they either buy your product or not. And then you have millions of users in your database and basically they are just hanging there. No one can take care of them because, yeah, after the registration or after the activation, other teams don't have any touch points with them. They have no tools. They have no possibility to use the data that the company was already collecting. And then while we were talking, I also told him about the potential of CRM. So acquiring users, it's great. But what happens to them? So the main reason why every single company, no matter how big it is, how international it is, how big is the budget, it's CRM, it's because once you acquire users, it's way cheaper to convert your users into someone who is loyal to your product, who wants to buy more, who wants to spend money, and you can just do it through CRM. So when there is also a tricky question, what's more important, like activate users or keep them warm or reactivate them? You can't just give one answer, right? Because every action and every stage, it's like a key thing that you need to do. So if you want to have a proper strategy, you can't just focus on acquiring users. And once I started, yeah, it was a tough year for me because for 8 different shops in 16 countries, I was the only one person in CRM to prove. Oh, wow. Yeah, it was interesting, I must say. So my goal was to prove that the company needs the team. So the company wants to invest in this direction. And after seeing that with the millions of users that we had around the world, we can just generate way more revenue, way more trust through different CRM actions. Of course, it was surprising. For them, not really for me, because I knew it's the main goal. And yeah, after this time, the company decided to invest a lot in CRM, also have international teams, even have an app. So it developed in a very, very good direction.
That's very cool. And I'm it's always fun to listen to these buy-in stories, because it's always the case that now I think there's more understanding, but among teams, or at least I feel it in my small little world, that's happening more and more often. But one argument that I personally find very helpful when I'm talking to people about CRM is that now you see most of these apps are selling subscriptions, right? And at the end, subscriptions are, I mean, although your business goals might be how many paying users there are and how many people renewed and all of that, but if you look at your own behavior, you renew to companies who make you feel like a member, who make you feel like they are there to help you, right, along the way. And like if it's a dating space, then the underlying need is that whenever I'm looking for a partner, then, or, whatever my use case is, I am going to trust Lovoo with the process. And that subscription, like that is the foundational layer of it. And if you don't do CRM well, like if you don't speak to them, irrespective of the channels, right? Like if you're doing this via push or in-app, and that's like the tactical bits of it. But at the end of the day, you need to be like Alfred to the Batman, right? Like you need to always be there and say, oh, by the way, I saw that you need this, and check this out or check that out or do this or do that. And CRM is the only way you can do that, because you can't do it without CRM or without thoughtful CRM, right? Like you can't just be blasting out, like today is Valentine's Day and buy our subscription. It should be you being able to detect when someone is really looking and when someone is serious about it, and offer them a chance to, show the value to them, to say now is the time when we can solve this issue for you. It's very, very, very interesting. Another question I had coming off from what you said is, right now when you're working at Teams, right? Like now when you're working at Lovoo and you want to make a case for CRM, where you say, okay, we need to invest in these tools, we need to invest in these systems. How, you know, is there more buy-in from leadership, not only at Lovoo, but like from other teams that you speak to and other people that you meet? Do you see that it's still a big issue where people have to convince, you know, leadership of CRM or leadership or growth organizations, right, on what CRM can deliver? Or do you feel because of these tools which are getting more and more sophisticated, there is less education that needs to happen with like these mobile first companies, right, like which are primarily driven by apps?
Yeah, I think it's still a struggle. So maybe I will start with something that was my goal when I started working at Lovoo. In most cases, CRM was part of marketing. And the same was also in this company. But for me, it didn't really make much sense to be part of brand marketing or like a user acquisition, because this what we do is highly focused on numbers. And if we don't cooperate with teams like product team, engineers, we don't really have the information what's happening. So we still have weekly or bi-weekly exchange with other teams, but my wish was to shift CRM team to the product team. And from this, what I've heard, it's not a common thing, because I think it makes sense to be very close to the content team and talk about, I don't know, social media campaigns, but it's hard to analyze the numbers, or it's hard to highlight your impact. It's way easier when you work with people who are also focused on numbers and who have to deliver different things. So after moving to the product team, of course, I also changed, the company has changed my supervisor. So now CRM is under product. Our supervisor is a CPO. Mm-hmm. And this really helped us a lot to convince the others about the potential. Because, I can show reports, I can show my numbers, but without a deeper understanding on the higher level, it's extremely hard. What we started to do at Lovoo in the first weeks, we were joining kind of a presentation where we were showing a CRM, what kind of campaigns we have, how we target users, what we offer to them. And I think interesting and new point for people in the company was that not every CRM action has to bring you revenue directly. What I mean is, as you mentioned, so for dating, not only Lovoo, but I think every dating platform, it's extremely hard to connect with users because it's such a sensitive topic. So as you mentioned, Valentine's Day. So what happens? You go out, you see so many people in love, everyone is in a restaurant, drinking wine, being very happy, but you are single. So like, what's the reason for you to get a push and say like, find love today? Like, you know, if you are single and there is day of people who are in love and you are not, you don't feel very motivated. What we started to do is to change the way of communication with users. So the first point was to communicate in a special way with women, because back then, the main focus was on male users, because why? They pay, they generate the revenue. But you can have many male users who pay the money, but what can they do if they are into women, but they are known in the app? So we as a CRM started to create dedicated campaigns for women, more about being independent, why it's good to make a first step, how to answer different messages, how to start a conversation with a man that you like. And it showed us a huge impact. So it didn't bring us money directly. Of course, it was time consuming, and also like the content team had to create completely different content strategy, but it helped us really, really a lot to create this trust in one of the segments. So right now we have dedicated campaigns for women, which are most focused on engagement. And then we also have campaigns for men that, of course, they are more focused on the revenue. To answer your question, is it hard? It is hard. I think no matter in which team you are, if you ask for money, then you need to prove from many different ways why you need the tool. You need to explain why it's expensive, why it is what you have, it's not enough. I'm very glad that currently Lovoo is so open. So we have also new people in the team, and not only in my team, but overall in the company, who are bringing different experience from different companies. And the main goal is to, of course, grow to be best, because also like this, we have many competitors right now. And some of them are very popular, some of them are focused on young people, some of them are focused on different areas in Germany or the world. What is special about Lovoo is the fact that we are in one, a dating platform and also live streaming platform. So no matter if you are single or not, you can still use Lovoo. So if you are, and this is also something that we were doing in Sierra. So we were kind of cross-promoting our product, because when you look at our app, it's kind of two products in one app. And it was the potential that no one really was trying to use, because we advertise Lovoo as a dating app. But in CRM, we started to create campaigns that, if you don't open the dating app, we send you to the live streaming section. And then we explain that you can either become a live streamer, or you can watch streams, you can also find people to talk to, you can also fall in love if you feel like that. So this is also helping us to present the app as a one completely different thing. That's when you compare us to different dating platforms, different competitors, makes us special. For the tool, going back again, it is a struggle, it's really. But I think the best thing to prove that you need more budget and that you need more more tools are the numbers. So either you show the potential of this, what you plan to do, you make a forecast, you create a use cases, or you just show, I don't know, short time A/B testing that you are running, and then you kind of make this opportunity to make it as a constant point to create more revenue, user awareness, connection, whatever.
Very nice. There are many topics that I noted down to get into a bit more detail. So I'll start from the top. I was thinking, like, you know, you said you now made the switch to the product team. So CRM actually now sits in within the product team, right? Mm-hmm. Is this a change that you had to make a case for? Or, you know, how did that decision happen internally? Because I recently, for instance, spoke to an app which has around, you know, more than 100 million users. And they also recently switched CRM from like marketing to being more product or sit within the product team, and they mentioned that the reason for them was that because their product was at such a growth phase that they couldn't let CRM teams or how we speak to customers be a separate experience, right? Like they really needed to be close so that they can control and they also can learn from whatever we are sending out. So they couldn't lose this opportunity, you know, the opportunity was too big. What was that like for you and at Lovoo, right? Like, how did that internal org structure and team structure take place? Like the change in from marketing to product, how did that decision happen?
Yeah, so it happened in the moment when I just realized that we don't really get as much information as we need. So, for example, the product team, it was just normal for them, and I will not judge if you work in that way for like some years, of course you want to continue because you think this is how it should be. So often it was happening that the product team was coming to us and saying, hey, Roma, we have a new feature. Send a communication to users that currently we just released this and that. And there was no explanation, no preparation, no understanding also that we need some time to prepare everything. We need to understand why we do it. We also need to kind of make sure that we understand the impact and we have the KPIs that in the future we might be impacting. It was happening so often, and also there was a lack of communication between, like CRM was in a one bubble. There was marketing, there was product, and there was CRM. And every time there was help needed from other teams, they were coming to us or we were going to them, but we were kind of a separate island. So every time there was a meeting, CRM was part of this marketing exchange, never of the product. And I just created a use case why would it be beneficial for the company to switch CRM to the product, why we need this information, what kind of impact we can bring, because I think it's less important what I want, but it's more important what I can bring. So highlighting this why having CRM in the product team will be beneficial for the company was a key change. And the change, of course, didn't happen from one day to another. I was from one day invited to some meetings where I could also exchange, and people realized that, oh yeah, this CRM view, it's also very important. So we didn't think about segmentation. We didn't think about so many different factors that we need to think when we release a feature. And I think step by step, I think it took some weeks to really make sure that CRM is under product fully. But right now,
sorry to interrupt. I was just wondering, like, and when you were making that change and you were attending these meetings, was it with the product team or did you also start inviting product and marketing teams, right, to these meetings to show them what you were working on, right? So it's essentially like trying to get them involved into this is how we are making decisions. And only if we had more support from the product team or if we were very closer to you, we could be doing so much more, right? Like, was that more the trend of these meetings or was it that you had these meetings anyway and you started inviting folks on your own? In terms of like inviting product team to be a part of your initiatives and things like that?
Yeah, so at first I was just a guest in the product meetings. So they mostly thought that they're gonna just present me something and this is it. But every time they were presenting something, I also had points for feedback and I was challenging them with questions like, why don't you do it that way? Why don't we tested it first? Why don't we make a test with CRM? You know, you don't need 7 weeks to see results of a test. Within the CRM action, you can see test results in a week. So why don't you want to involve engineers if we can just do it very fast internally in the team? So this is how it started. And later on, so right now, I must say, it's quite good connected. So we, for example, as a CRM, we manage campaigns for the entire company. So we decide when we're gonna run each campaign. So we have a yearly calendar where we plan seasonal campaigns and also ad hoc campaigns. So for example, when we know that, I don't know, in some months, the number every year are going down, then we kind of make a new topic like today it's a kissing day, and and then we invite the marketing team and the product team to kind of prepare their part. So we are kind of a center part of the communication for the company, and I think we couldn't do it if we were alone. So right now, everyone can see, marketing and product can see that we can connect those two words, and just as an entire ecosystem, it works so well.
Very, very nice and very interesting as well, because this is a model that I slowly see teams moving towards. And there's often these questions that keep coming up, right? Like, how do we make that switch to product team? And I think there's at least from what I have seen, there also needs to be this voice in the product team who realizes the value of CRM. And sometimes it's just about convincing them that this is what we can do. And to your point, by the way, like, it's sometimes I find it so weird that because we've been working in this space for so long, some things are so natural to you, like a user survey, right? Like, we can do this so quickly and learn from it so quickly that you don't even find it worth mentioning when you're talking about why CRM is important. But I was talking to a product team recently, and they showed me exactly what you said. Like, they showed me this user survey that they sent, and it took them 6 weeks to collect everything systematically. And I said, you know what, like, if you use this tool, we were using Braze at that point, and we said, if you're using any tool, you can send out a survey and we can have the results like within 3 days, right? Like, as quick as that. So, and they were mind blown, and that slowly started. They were like, okay, what else can you do? You know, and that sparked the entire conversation and then the change. So it's a
The
very
same.
interesting interesting space, right? And maybe generically speaking, right, like, what's your view on CRM being a part of the product team? Like, if let's say there were brands or companies out there who wanted to make that switch, do you see that as something that will only be good for everyone to do, or do you feel there are nuances as well that someone should, you know, maybe be mindful of?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the team structure and also on the company. So, as I mentioned, it's the first time when I had this idea just because I saw that it doesn't fit. In the previous companies, I was always leading CRM teams and we are always part of marketing, and it was completely fine. It depends on the people, of course, on their dynamic, on their motivation. But the most important is how the entire flow in the company goes. So, as I mentioned, for Lavoo, the entire potential of the team was not really kind of discovered. And right now, once we talk about just what we do and how we can do, people can also understand much better our impact. If any company sees this as an issue or like something that stops them on the way, I would say try to understand the product team first before you make a decision that, yeah, from today, I leave marketing, CRM goes to product. It's never a good idea. So every decision has the pro and contras also for us. So I think it's just better. It's not best, it's just better. And I think sometimes good, it's enough, or like better, it's enough than perfect.
Actually, well said. And I think also your KPIs change, right? I remember reading somewhere when you when I was in, you know, when I was researching you for this interview, I read somewhere that you mentioned these four metrics that you typically try to capture and to revive. It's like customer engagement, customer satisfaction, revenue, and retention, right? If I remember. And I think, like, that to your point, right? Like, if your growth or your company's growth relies on a few of more of these factors like revenue, maybe you are in the marketing team and it keeps working fine because you want that kind of targets to drive your CRM. But as soon as it becomes more, let's say, subscriptions typically, where you are more engagement and retention driven, maybe you focus again towards, you know, with the product team because you're launching these new features. You want to hear from your users more often. And as soon as you go towards that satisfaction and engagement metrics, and if you see that that's getting more important for you, maybe then you move towards or start thinking to move towards the product team, right? And being a part of the of that side of the organization.
And also for us, so those are the four key KPIs, but of course under them we have way more. I think understanding that this what we do, it's a mix of engagement, revenue, different tactics, it's also very important. Because you can't really expect from like not a real product. We don't sell, I don't know, a grocery, or we don't send like garden furniture. We sell something that it's not something that you need every day. So it's kind of a feature or kind of a service that it's nice to have. And we have particular users. So for us, it's very important to understand that CRM has to really kind of match everyone's expectation, and that every part or like every KPI that we measure bring us to a different goal. So for CRM, you shouldn't really have just one goal, revenue, but the main goal, like the R stands for relationship. So the main goal is to create relationship with users.
Yeah, absolutely. And within this framework then, and when you moved to the product team and you started doing more of this, were there any specific tactics or specific maybe campaigns or, you know, ideas that actually helped you do this very well for Lovu? Because I always struggle to find very concrete use cases to show folks that actually this can happen in a very systematic way, right? It's not a one-off, but it can actually enable a lot of this knowledge about your users. Has there any wins or maybe failures that you know that you had along the way to understanding your customers that come out to you randomly? Sorry to put you on the spot, by the way, but in case.
No, it's totally fine. The thing that comes to my mind directly, it's that, not long time ago, we released a new feature, which is offline dating. So we want our users to also meet in real places. And of course, product team can release the feature. And then you go to the app and you see something, and there is like 50% of chance that user will click on it. But the first point that you need to create, it's again, this awareness. So what we wanted to do, and again, it was the moment when the product team was like, hey, CRM, we have a new feature. Do you want to do something about it? And then we were like, yeah, sure. So it would be great to tell people, like especially female users, that we take care of their safety. For male users, what they can offer, or like what kind of small talks they can start, you know, small things that for some people might be not very obvious, or like might give them this more confidence to meet in the real world. So we started to create, before the feature was released, we started to create this awareness campaign that, hey, something big is coming. In 3 days, we're going to release something special for you. And then we were personalizing this based on this area where users are living. And then, as I said, we started this entire education part where we are explaining users how it's going to be, why it's great to use, why it makes sense to meet in person instead of sending messages for, I don't know, 3 weeks and then ghost the other person. It's hard to compare this with different feature announcements that we had in the past, but like comparing this what happened last year with several features to this what happened this year, it was a huge success. Because people were not only just surprised that they see something, but they were also waiting for this because we were making like a huge announcement. We are also giving them the feeling that they are very special because they're going to be the first one who going to see something new. So looking at the numbers and also at the usage of the new feature, it showed us a huge difference compared to the other feature announcement, which in the past was like, hey, go to the app, we have a new feature. So having like the entire campaign and creating this excitement of users brought us way, way more than we expected.
Yeah, very cool. And you know, I worked with Blinkist recently, and they launched a new product feature. And I was thinking about an example as well, where they launched this new feature called Blinkist Spaces, where you can share your premium account with others, and you can share books and things like that. And it was living in the homepage, like a banner, which said, there's this new feature and you should interact with it. And honestly, like when I saw the app, I was 100% sure that people would have noticed it. Like people, there's no way you will miss it because it's in the home tab, it's right in your face. So how could people not see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because they have such a strong and engaged user base who are kind of, at least that's my hypothesis, that they have been using the app in a certain way and they're very used to it. They never go onto the app and explore what the app has done new in the time that, you know, in the home tab or things like that. And CRM played such a big role when it came to that product feature adoption and usage and, you know, then people buying because of it, that for the first time in my life, it was very contradictory. You know, I thought people must have clearly seen it and we might be annoying them, but actually it helped increase product adoption insanely just through CRM and through showing users what they can get out of this new feature at different times, you know, and very, very cool.
Yeah, that's great, right? That you, it's also so interesting that we, as people who are working in this world, we sometimes assume that it's so obvious, but then you really try to A/B test something on users and you think like, yeah, it's obvious or it's so basic. And then suddenly you see huge spike and it's like, wow, this is my job. So I just made a small change and yeah, people love it.
Yeah, exactly. It's it makes you feel powerful,
totally.
And also effective. No, very nice. And just one thing that I also catched when you were talking about, like, you know, how you tackle CRM at Lovu, and I guess this applies to also general dating space, is how female users interact with the product versus male users, and how they almost have very different pain points, different type of purchasing behavior, and, you know, things like that. So what I was, one quick question is that have you guys tried changing pricing for women, or, you know, changing when you show pricing to women, maybe giving them more likes and giving them more sort of leeway to play with the product versus male users? Or else, have there been any other tests and insights that you had on that, you know, on that personalization front?
Yeah, not sure if I can say it, but I will tell you, it's a secret. Female users can use our app for free. So they have access to almost all features. So they don't need to pay for it because it's so important. So mainly the app is focused on a female-male connection. We also have like one gender users, but Lovu, it's not fully focused on this. We want to more switch into that direction because those users are also extremely important to us. But due to the trend that has been followed for years, we focus on men looking for women, women looking for men. So the idea of this is that as a female user, you can, as I already mentioned, use almost 100% of all the features for free. Just male users have to pay. Talking about different approach, so every time we send a campaign, we put an A/B test. So at first, when I told my team that we need to do it, and you need to plan what you want to test for the next quarter. At first, they didn't really like this idea because, of course, it's a lot of effort. And sometimes you think that, yeah, like putting first name of the user in a push notification will not change the world. But it showed us that the click rate can be crazy just because you place the name of the user in the push. And then all the users are suddenly clicking on your push, and it directs them to the in-app that either offers something or like highlights a feature or whatever. So for female users, we mostly focus on different approach, different communication. And as I already mentioned, we also want female users to be more self-confident and give them the feeling that we don't judge women who want to start a conversation, because it's great. Like, come on, right now you have like so many aggressive apps where you need to really fight to get attention from men. So why not to just send a smiley to a user, like to a man that you like, or why not to send, we call it icebreaker message, that you send a short message to start the conversation. So this is how we kind of test different things on female users. When we see something extremely successful on the female communication, we also try to test it on male communication. Quite often it doesn't work because just, you know, it's a completely different world and like completely different expectation, but it's always worth to test something.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially in this space, it's so clear that you might have two A/B testing buckets almost, right? Because they have such different behaviors and such different offerings as well, that you might want to have different type of A/B tests sometimes for male versus female users. Very interesting. I worked for a dating app last year or year before that. And we also had similar setup because we saw that female users were the ones that were responsible for the app actually working successfully, because there are always these male users which are higher in proportion in terms of volume, and they also pay more. So you need both of them. And I think like what you said about offering female plans for free almost, do you actively tell them that it's, you have all access free, or you don't tell them and you just provide this to them? Because maybe telling them could also encourage them to, you know, to use and stay on the app maybe, right? Because they can use all premium features for free.
Yeah, of course we do tell them, because we try to be as much transparent as we can. So if we offer something such exclusive, why not to tell them? And I think it also gives them the feeling that they are so special. So we really see that after spending some time and investing many resources into automations that are just sent to female users, the engagement of female users, it's growing. So we, of course, want to reduce this manual work on sending push or in-app or newsletter communication manually once per week. But we just invest our time into having automations. So either there is an activation campaign just for women, reactivation campaign in engagement. We create two different streams and two different sources for different users.
This is very cool. Well, it has been a lot of fun talking to you about all of this, right? Like also just your journey from CRM being a newsletter or a dispatch center to now, when you're kind of one of the few companies who are really integrating CRM with the product team, and you know, you are showing how it can be done. So I think that's also very, very interesting topic that we spoke about. But anything else, Roma, before we wrap this up, that you wanted to bring up?
Maybe my message to all the CRM managers, and not only, just be strong, try to educate the others and never give up, because this what we do, it's so powerful and it's so amazing that we really need to tell the others how important is our work and try to connect with the entire company.
Absolutely. That's a very motivational end to the episode, and I really like it, because just this morning, by the way, I was giving like this lecture at a university on CRM, and I, for that preparation, I googled CRM, right? And even to this day, if you google CRM, what you see is so far away from what we are doing really.
Oh, yeah.
that I feel that there's a big knowledge gap and there's a big gap in how people understand CRM. So
I also had a quick exchange this morning with someone who wanted to know more about CRM at Lovoo, and it's so funny that we as people from this area, we think that everyone can understand what we are doing, but often it's such a different understanding. So the person was from the US, and he wanted to understand how we do it in Europe. So it's hard for me to say how we do it in Europe, but at least I can say how we do it at Lovoo, or like how I used to do it in the past. So the understanding of all of this is so different. I also had a few cases when I was having interview, and then I asked people who applied for the CRM position how they understand it, and they thought that they're gonna call users and convince them to buy our products. It was more like a call center. So the CRM definition, it's very broad.
I think going back to your initial point, right? Like, I think there's this case on how you should name your team that should describe what you actually do, because maybe lifecycle marketing is a bit more appropriate to what we do versus CRM. Sometimes is just like it's still used in the old way.
But,
Well, thank you so much, Roma, for the call. I learned a lot, and I am glad that actually we spoke about this product and CRM combination, which we haven't explored yet in any of these episodes. So I'm sure people will find it useful. And in case anyone wanted to get in touch with you, is there anything that you want to say before we end the call?
No, if anyone would like to connect with me, feel free. I'm always very happy to have a quick chat or like a coffee break. And to you, thank you, Karen, again for the invite. It was great. I'm very happy that we were able to really tackle so many different topics in such a short time. So yeah, my pleasure.
Absolutely. And inspire so many CRM professionals. Thank you so much for being here, Roma. Thank you.
Thank you.